Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good evening, and welcome to another episode of Chronicles of a Favorite Woman. My name is Fuchina Carpinall, and it's always a privilege and a pleasure to be here with you. I'm so excited. I'm so excited. I'm always excited, aren't I? But I am extremely excited tonight. I want to thank you all for always tuning in. You know I don't start the show without prayer, so let's just get into it. Father, in the name of Jesus, we just thank you. We praise you. We give you the highest praise. Hallelujah, Lord. I thank you for who you are, Lord. I thank you. You know, as I come to your throne right now, I ask you to forgive me for any sins I've done, thought, word, and deed. I thank you for allowing me grace and mercy because you bless me even though I don't deserve to be blessed. You love me even though I don't deserve something to, you know, I just don't deserve it because of the things I've done. But I thank you from where you brought me, from where I was and where you brought me to now. And it is only through your unconditional love and grace. And as I move forward, Lord, I ask you to decrease Fuchina right now, Lord. And I invite your Holy Spirit to come in. I thank you that the nerves that I feel right now, that it'll be used for your glory. I thank you for the guest that's coming on tonight. And I ask that you just continue to cover us and you just go before us and make the crooked path straight. Thank you, Lord, for all those who are destined and designed to hear this message tonight. And it's in Jesus' name we ask and pray. Amen. So when I think of the goodness of Jesus and all he has done for me, my soul cries out, hallelujah. Thank God for saving me. Now, you all know that's one of my favorite scriptures that I mentioned because I cannot begin to tell you how much I'm grateful. And when I listen to other people and I hear their testimonies and I hear how they share their stories, and when he gave me the topic for tonight, he gave it to me a few weeks ago. And normally when he gives me a topic, he always gives me the person I am destined to do it with. And when I got that confirmation, I was so excited. Now, what's interesting is this past weekend, I was in Raleigh, North Carolina. And for those of you who know me, know I went to St. Augustine's College many, many years ago. And I've met all of my very, very dear friends. I'm talking like lifelong friends in college. That's where I've met them. And it's interesting when you get older and you find out people's stories and you find out that their stories are a little similar to yours. And this beautiful woman of God, we go back 30 years plus. And when I see where we were and where we are now, I couldn't help but to think this was a perfect subject for her and I to have to come to the table with. And the subject tonight is the polished. And so when you think of the word polished, some of the words, you know, I went online, you all. So, you know, I went and see what Merriam's dictionary had to say. I didn't do Google tonight. I went to Merriam. And polish is defined as quite a few things. One, subject to polishing, made smooth and glossy by or as if by polishing a surface, like polished silver. Then there's another way, characterized by a high degree of development, finish or refinement, free from imperfections. And then there's another one that says someone old-fashioned, characterized by elegance and refinement. I tell you what, the person that I'm about to bring on defines all of that and then some. And when I tell you, she is a phenomenal woman of God. She is a phenomenal woman of God. Not only, let me just take it outside of the godly realm. She is a phenomenal woman, period, because she has lived it. She has walked it. She has talked it. She has lived it, and now she can tell you about it. And I'm looking forward to it. And her name, I have a bio for her, but, I mean, even with the bio, just nothing can more describe. I'm going to bring her on because I want her to give her a little snippet about herself. But just to be let you know what we're getting into when we talk about the polished product, sometimes we have a tendency of judging a book by its cover. We just look at the cover, and we just make a decision. Don't we do that with people? You know, we just look at people. We don't know nothing about them. Assume that they are not what we appear them to be or make them out to be. But did anyone or anyone just take the time to open up the cover? And I don't know about you, but I know I've gone through that. Anyone else has done that? I want to thank you all for those who are tuning in to Facebook Live. If you know anyone who could be blessed by this, please send them over to my page, Futina Kirkendall, and just click on the link or you can share it. Share it. You're tuning in to Chronicles of a Favored Woman. And those for you who are on Blog Talk, you can always reach out to me at www.blogtalkradio.com/ Chronicles of a Favored Woman. So with that being stated, also, those who you usually reach me on email has not changed, and thank you so much for tuning in on that or doing that. And it's Season Charlie, OAFwoman@gmail.com. So let's move it forward. You know, judging that book by the cover, and sometimes when we're looking at people, we look at where they once were, and some people stay stuck and keep them stuck there. And then you have some people, when you get to a different plateau, they either think you're stuck up, but they don't even know your story, so they don't understand your glory. So I'm just going to bring her on board, and it is my privilege and it is my assignment to introduce to others Elder Melissa Daggett. So I want to thank you for tuning in or just joining me at the table for Chronicles of a Fonder Woman. And how are you?
I am doing well. How are you?
I am phenomenal. I'm so excited to have you here, more than you know. So those who are on Facebook Live, if you cannot hear, please let me know, because that's how I'll know if what I need to do on my end. So let's move forward. So I could give a bio, but I just find it better for you to talk about you. So please introduce yourself.
I am Elder Melissa Daggett. I was born and raised in the District of Columbia. I attended Eastern Senior High School. I am Washington, D.C., and I then migrated to North Carolina, attending St. Augustine College, where I met this awesome, lovely woman, Futina Kirkendall. She reiterated earlier, she and I, we go years back. And then I went further furthered my education at Capella University. Then after that, I went on to work as a college instructor in the Piedmont community area, and now I am a CPS worker, an investigator. And so throughout those years, there were some things that was taking place in my life, and so I'm going to let Ms. Kirkendall allow me to, when she introduced that part, then I'll be able to speak on it.
So I'll make it simple for you. You already told me who you are. You told me what you do. You gave me a snippet of what you do and then why you do what you do.
Okay. To add on to that, I'm also in the ministry as well. And why I do what I do is not of my own doing. Actually, I was led and called, and not even realizing, even in my college years, when I was full of myself. I can put it that way. I was full of myself and not realizing there was a calling on my life then. And so I always been a people person. And when I speak with people, I try to understand who they are so I can so I can know how to relate to them. However, it led me to, in the school system and teaching in the college background, I studied people, I studied their personalities. However, it all plays a role leading into the ministry because I was going to become a part of other people's lives. However, in doing so, in this walk of life, on this journey, you have to understand people. People are so easily to be misunderstood. They can be misunderstood because of the way they look, the way they smell, the way, you know, they dress. And when we begin to look at people for the outer appearance, we're missing the great blessing because the great blessing comes from within. And when we allow to them, when we allow them to show their inner blessing, it will supersede the outer appearance, and then we can get a better understanding of who we're dealing with. If that makes sense.
You know, you touched on quite a few things, and so many things I could touch on. But I want to talk about, you know, you're right. We go way back. We go way back. Often we wonder about, you know, when we talk about that book, as I mentioned, The Polished Product, we talk about, I want to talk about how, you know, where it started, because we were a cold, and you were a cold one. Can you touch on that a little bit?
You said I was a cold one?
Oh, cold, like C-O-A-L. You know how a cold, how a diamond is once a cold before it becomes a diamond?
Yes, absolutely. Oh, my heavens. If I look back on things in life, it actually, you know, before we become the diamond, of course we are coal. And, and of course, the coal has to go through so much pressure and so much heat. And before it began to even show itself, before it began to even form into whatever shape it may become. However, you know, coming up as a child, I had to realize there was a few things that I had going on in my life. And I have to be very open to this because we have a lot of people, and I want to say mainly women, if I can touch base on that, who have not been able to open and allow themselves to be free. They're still holding on to things that took place in their upbringing. And so I my life is an open book. I have nothing to hide. As a child coming up, yes, I was molested as a child. However, that molestation spirit, that molesting spirit, stuck with me, but not realizing it was attached to me. So in that process of it being attached to me, it allowed me to become what, as the old folks would say, buck wild. So I began to become more promiscuous, if I may say. I began to play the role and began to take on the role of a man, meaning not being a man. No, I was never bisexual or homosexual. However, taking on the mindset of a man, I'm going to get them before they get me. I'm going to have to do certain things like a man in order to get what I want to satisfy my needs. So that type of mentality and behavior walked with me through my years of high school and college. And so with that type of mindset, what it did was allow me to explore in various areas of life. And my mindset, as I would say honestly, because that's all that I pretty much understood and knew because of what took place in my life, I began to think on the level of, okay, if this is how it is, let me begin to make some money from it, you know. So it took a place where I began to mentally think that I wanted to run my own escort service. And so as I begin to have those thoughts and I begin to work on those thoughts, because a man, so a man thinketh, so is he. So as I begin to think those things, I begin to walk in those things and not realize I was killing myself. Not realizing that I was on what was called the express train to hell. Not realizing I was damaging others and myself as well. So when I begin to have those thoughts and begin to act on them, it's like the enemy saw and he kept feeding me more and more, and I wanted to grow more and more into that. But there was one thing that I know for sure, and there's a man named Jesus who stopped that, because that was not in his plan for me. So when I was in high school, I will only speak, I will only pray and speak on certain type of men. Come on, somebody. I got to be real with
you. How about it?
We as women, we pray on men. They always think the men is praying on the women, but there are women out here that are praying on men.
You better speak it.
So what I was doing, I was praying on men, on certain type of men, because I knew their vulnerability. And their vulnerability was what's going to satisfy my need. And I took that behavior into my college life. And there, that's where the, you know, I was doing the drinking, the smoking, the partying, you know, not going to class like I should, you know, and just living what I thought was life. So yes, I was a cold. Yes, I was a cold. Most definitely that. And once I got into college, once I got to college, you know, it even began to become more broader than what it was before. It began to expand even the more. You know, I was very well known on campus. You know, I never really told too many people my real name. You know that, Regina. And because I had a plan in the back of my head, you know, for certain things to certain people, you know, and there were certain activities and that I indulged in that I'm not too proud about now. But then I thought this was the life.
Right.
And through those experiences, I can honestly say that I thank God for keeping his eye on me. Because it wasn't until my senior year of college when the light bulb came on. And how many know when the light bulb comes on, it's not always a bright light?
Yes, ma'am.
It can be a very dim light, but you see that light, and you will grow into the brightness, if that makes sense. So I thank God for that light that came upon me, and I thank God for saving me during my senior year.
You know, I often tell people, grace and mercy will follow you wherever you are, and your highs and your lows, he's there if you want it bad enough. If you want it, if you're seeking it, if you're hungry for it, you'll get it. You know, we share somewhat the same testimony, you know. I understood everything you said because I was there. You're right. we prayed on particular men. And you're right, it's not men just praying on women. I knew that, you know, I remember one of my schoolmates called me a man eater. And I thought about that thing. And I was like, no, man. He said, you're a heartbreaker. You know, you're always breaking a guy's heart. But when I started thinking about that thing, I was like, you know what? Yeah, you might got some truth to that. And I remember someone calling me a temptress before. I was like, you know what? When I thought about it, I was like, you know what? You're absolutely right. But you know what's interesting? For years, people were accusing me and calling me whatever, and I just became whatever they made me out to be because I just didn't know any better. I didn't have any self-confidence. I didn't have any self-worth, and I just became whatever. But that it's like, you know, it's like a play. You know, I just changed the makeup, changed whatever, because I didn't have enough to know who I am and whose I was, to know that I was better than what I was putting out there. So I understood. So when it came to praying, you know, as you said, you know, going after these men, yes, I knew, because I was like you. I studied. I watched. That's how I ended up dealing with a lot of unattached men, because I felt like I wasn't worthy of nothing but unattached women, because that's all I felt. I felt like, you know, having a piece of man is no man at all. And I'm going to get me, and I'm going to do what's better for me. It didn't help that I had a sex addiction on top of that. So I get what you're saying, but God is so merciful. Through all that, you know, he still kept me. He still kept you. He kept us. And here we are tonight chopping it up, you know, and I love it. You know, the floor is open, and because that's what Chronicles is all about. And for those who are just tuning in, you're tuning in to Chronicles of a Favorite Woman. My name is Fuchina Kirkendall, and I am being blessed here by my special guest tonight, Elder Melissa Daggett. And we're talking about the polished product. We're talking about when you judge that book by the cover and you don't take the time to read the pages. That's what we're talking about. And we're keeping it real and live and direct because people need to hear this. You know, there's people out there who are going through what Elder has mentioned. They're going through what I've gone through, and they need to hear it. I'm just here to let you know there's power. There is power in the blood, and there is a way out. You, like I said, you got to be hungry. You got to be hungry to want it. So going back to you, Elder Daggett, at what point did you get to the point where you was like, okay, I didn't put it out there. This is my calling of, you know, the world. I'm going to be a madame. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. And then it got to a point you saw that dim light. What point did you get to when the light didn't become dim anymore?
The light, what brought me to that point was I decided to take a chance on what is called a relationship. And during that time, because I never, my mindset was, what is commitment? What is faith? You know, what is being in a relationship? Because I saw growing up, and I stood in the pants of men's shoes to a certain degree of how to treat people in relationships. So I never took that serious enough. Yes, I had feelings for men, and I wanted to do that, but there was always an inkling of fear. And so I decided to take a chance. And when I took that chance crushed me even the more. And I said to myself, I can't keep doing this. I can't keep living like this. I can't keep allowing my heart and my feelings to be masked, you know. because that's mm-hmm. what it is you're actually masking how you really feel. And so mm-hmm. what I did, I allowed myself to become involved in a relationship with a man, and we thought everything was going to be great. Well, at least I did. And, you know, because mm-hmm. I saw something different. And even though there were bits and pieces of how can I put it, red flags, in other words, even though there mm-hmm. were red flags, I didn't even want to pay attention to the red flag. I'm kind of masking my feelings. And so the young man and I, he got the wedding rings and did the whole shebang and the I do, we all do, saying a proposal. And when it came time for the date of the wedding, a few days before the date of the wedding, you know, he and I, we sat and we talked and we wanted to make sure we were both going to go through this. And so we came into that agreement. And but then the date of the wedding, when it came, I received a bit of bad news, and that done something to me, and that actually for a second gave me a setback. But even in that mindset of the setback, it was something within me said, no, you push forward. So what took place was he took our wedding ring. First of all, called off the wedding, took the wedding ring, and actually married another woman with our wedding ring. So
I'm sorry. Stop. Pause right there. I want to make sure I heard you correctly. You said y'all already set the date, and y'all was mm-hmm. moving forward. Y'all bought the wedding ring, and he called off the wedding, and the mm-hmm. wedding ring that was intended for you all, he used it for somebody else?
Yes, he used it for
someone else.
Oh,
I just want to make sure I was clear what I heard. Okay.
Yes, mm-hmm. and he married someone else. And so that right there was like a cement block, you know, that took place in
yeah.
his stomach. And I, you know, I went through and I kept saying, did I deserve this? Maybe it's because I've been treating men a certain kind of way. You know, I thought, you know, trying to rationalize mm-hmm. why mm-hmm. this took place.
Mm-hmm.
And then if I look back on some things, you're going to reap what you sow. It may
exactly.
not come the way you expect
yes.
it to come,
mm-hmm.
but you're going to reap what you sow. And in the process of that, speaking of the light, the dim light, and I said, as I reiterated earlier, I pushed forward because there was a part of me wanted to really get down with the get down of this payback, you know. And
mm-hmm.
so I said, no, I'm going to go forward, because I kept hearing different passages from different preachers, you know, at that time, like showing up on TV. And I'm like, why every time I
mm-hmm.
turn the television on, I'm hearing something about a preacher preaching, you know.
Right.
And then I was attending Grace Amity Zion Church under the leadership of Reverend Judd at the time. And there was a young
mm-hmm.
lady that was there, and she would call me and start talking about the word, you know. And I'm like, I'm not trying to hear all this right now, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But there was something. I didn't know what the something was actually the Holy Spirit. But there was something at that time I couldn't shake. I couldn't get loose from. And I said, okay, I'm going to try this thing. I'm going to give it a shot. I'm tired. I can't go through that no more. And I got tired of being tired, you know. So I actually
sick and tired
decided,
of being
okay,
sick and tired.
Right. I got tired of it. And so what I did, I surrendered. And I said, okay, I'm going to try Jesus. And that's what I did. Now, mind you, I come from a Christian background. I come, you know, from a Christian family. I was saved as a little girl, but I didn't know what it was because, you know, back then your parents make you get saved and make you get baptized, you know, and everything. But I didn't know what it really meant. I found it and realized what it actually meant at the age of 25. At the age of 25. And I received Christ, was baptized, born again. In July of 1995. No, I was 24, excuse me. Yeah, 1995. So I, you know, so I really took things, you know, seriously. That was like an eye-opener for me. But didn't realize it was an eye opener for me because I was like an infant. I just saw different things that started happening for me, and I'm like, wow, if I would have done this a long time ago, you know. So I began to see the goodness of Jesus and the things that he was doing in my life for me at that time. But how many of us know that you're going to still come across bumps and bruises even on your on your walk of this journey called Christianity. I was doing well for quite some time, and then I fell off the wagon. Does that make me a bad person? Did that make me a bad person? No. It made me a person who was growing because as a child, you grow, you fall, you make mistakes. And you learn from those mistakes. So all that has catapulted me into the person and pushed me into the direction that I'm going into now. So, and I'm so grateful, and I thank God for those bumps and bruises. I thank God for those chastisements. And, you know, I thank God for, he said, therefore, and if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature, and old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. So I thank God for that. I thank God for my old, because if it wasn't for my old, I would never really know what my new is becoming.
I want to talk about the old for one more, for a second. You know, when we were talking about, you know, being selective and knowing what we're going to do, whatever. Did you feel like you had to have a sense of control during that time?
I did. I did. I did. And I'm sorry.
No, go ahead, because you already answered.
Yes, I did feel like I had to have sense of control because I didn't want anyone to control me. I had to be the head chef. I had to make sure that it was done the way I wanted it to be done. In the process of, speaking of the old, in the process of coming through the trinket, it became, I became a sex addict, and I'm not ashamed of that because, you know.
Oh, right here.
Women
oh,
have
right
to,
here.
Women have to, we do have women out here who are former sex addicts and who are sex addicts, functioning sex addicts. So, because that spirit is real. That spirit is real.
Very much.
And so I had to have that control. And that control was in the mindset of me wanting to be the madam, wanted me to have my own escort service. I had it all planned out, Gina. I had it all planned.
I still remember
my escort service. I had, this is the type of men that I was going to have work for me.
Yeah,
you know,
honey.
They go, I'm going to hook you up. You're going to have to pay me. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
I did it by the mindset.
Girl.
I had it all laid out. In college, I wanted to be a sex therapist, you know. But, it was so much. Everything revolved around the flesh.
Right.
And so, and so talking about the old, that's what God delivered me from. And I thank God for his deliverance because no telling where I would be right now. You know what I'm
exactly.
saying? If it had not been for the Lord.
Oh, my yes, God. Where would I be?
Where would I be? No
yes,
telling
Lord.
Where I would be right now. So I thank God for being on my side. I thank God for watching over me. He said he watches over babies and fools. So I thank God for watching over me and ordering my steps. And once I
mm-hmm.
allow myself to be open and receive Christ as my Savior, my steps were beginning to become more organized. I would begin to see things line up a little differently than where they were before.
Mm-hmm. We have a question on the floor, if you don't mind me interrupting really quick. So the question says, was this what you did, was that a form of prostitution?
Yes, absolutely.
Like, I guess with the madam and trying to get paid and all that, was that the question they're asking, was that a form of prostitution?
Yes, that is a form of prostitution. Escorting is
mm-hmm.
a form of prostitution. It's a high-end terminology for prostitution.
Mm-hmm. 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 You know, when we think about, you know, having that control, because I can understand that, because my attitude was, I'm not going to let anybody have control over me and over my body anymore. I'm going to have control over that at any cost.
Mm-hmm.
At any cost.
Right.
But when I think about it now, and I'm this is a question for you, when you think about it now, we really didn't have no control. God was controlling
absolutely.
All of it all the time. When we think about it, like,
yes.
you know, for me, I was like, I ain't had no control over nothing, because if it was me that had control, first of all, Fatina Davis would not be living right about now. Or strung out or something. Who knows? But it definitely wasn't my control. You know, man
absolutely.
Makes plans and God
absolutely.
Laughs at them.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And you know, I thank you once again for those who are just tuning in. You're tuning in to Chronicles of a Favorite Woman. My name is Fuchina Kirkendall, and it's a privilege and a pleasure to have you on here. I'm seeing everybody coming in. Thank you for the questions. Put it out there. And people are commenting on it. You know, these are real stuff, and you can't make this stuff up. You just can't. You can't make it up.
Mm-hmm.
But it is the realness is what I love about people, especially those who are dear to me, who have been through the trenches, who can tell you, hey, I've been there. I've been there. There's no judgment here. I've been there. Let me help you out, because that's what this is all about. It is about, you know, once you've been, you've acknowledged and come forward and move forward, you speaking up and speaking out, it is are your responsibility. It is our responsibility. It is your responsibility, Elder. It is my responsibility to go back and spread, because the best testimony, the best sermon you could preach is real life. This is real life,
mm-hmm.
honey. This is real life. I ain't telling you what I think. We ain't telling you what you think. We telling what we know. I am telling you who he is.
Absolutely.
And if, hey, you're right. If it had not been for Jesus, where would we be? Where would we be? We
mm-hmm.
have to hold on. Even like you said, do we trip and fall? Yeah, you're going to trip and fall. But that's to be expected. How do you gain experience if you don't go through? It's called the process. We all go
absolutely.
Through the process. And if you haven't gone through a process, keep on living. Yours is coming.
Amen.
Yours is coming.
Amen.
Yours is coming.
That is so true.
You know, and, you know, I just want to get on, you know, as someone mentioned in the audience, a couple things that went in here. Let's see. The question is, do you think is that you were under satanic influence?
I believe at this, looking back on it now, I would say I had came in contact with some spirits. Yes, I did
mm-hmm.
come in contact
mm-hmm.
with some spirits.
Mm-hmm.
But thank God
mm-hmm.
for deliverance. Amen. Thank God.
Exactly.
Yes.
Exactly. And I want to chime in on that just a little bit. If you don't know any better, at that time, I tell people, don't be so quick to judge, because what may seem unethical to you may seem like a norm to me.
Right.
I equated sex for love because that was a norm. My boundaries was all messed up because it was, as a kid, I was violated. I didn't know the difference between this and that and this and that. So I just did. I went off of survival, and whatever that survival was to me, you, some other people, you know, like you earlier, Elder, you know, they deemed it as promiscuous. And you know, they so quick to judge. You don't know my story. I don't think I'm doing nothing wrong. As far as I know, I'm surviving. And
absolutely.
I feel like I'm doing well surviving. So if you don't know, you don't even know that you're under satanic, you know, influence or any of that, because your innocence has already been violated at an early age. You don't know the difference anymore. You don't know, because that right has been taken from you. And then you don't really have the guidance or anything, or the nurturing environment that you should have to get you on that track, because now you're dealing with other people with insecurities and they don't know what you got going on. So they're feeding it to whatever that case may be. So now you got a negative on top of a negative on top of a negative on top of a negative, and now you got to work it out. You got to work it out. So if you don't know, you don't know. But when you do know,
absolutely.
And that's where we are right now, when you do know. Now we have to do know. Yeah, we've been there. We're in that cold process. But now we're being refined. So what are some of the things you learned, or what are some of the things that you experienced during your refining, during that pressure process? Because a coal doesn't become a diamond until it is pressured.
Wow, that is a loaded one right there. You're going to go through so much in the process of being refined and being under the heat. And being in the fire, you're going to go through times of loneliness. You're going to go through times of just isolation. God will have you in that place of isolation where it's just you and him, and you can hear him and he can hear you, and you're going to go through a period of loneliness, but you're never alone. You're going to go through a period of not having a male figure even contact you in no way, shape, form, or fashion. You're going to go through, because it's all about, you're going to just be there with him, and you're going to see things differently. There are some things you're not going to understand, and you're going to be like, Lord, I just don't understand. I need clarification. And he said, be still and know that I am God. And I just want to say, God, I just thank you for even being refined. I thank you, God, for going through the fire, because if I look at it, if I can really look at it in a spiritual aspect, not only I was going through the fire, he was with me in the fire, because if he was with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, he was definitely with Melissa, Darlene, Daggett. So I just want to say thank God for being there with me, because when the king looked up, saw a fourth person, and when he saw that fourth person, which who was Jesus, I just want to say, God, I thank you for being in the fire with me, because if he did it for them, he'll do it for me. And people look at me now because they say, you don't look like what you've been through. I say, it's the smoke that I don't even have to be around. It's the smoke that I don't have to be a part of, because he wiped it away. Because when they came out the fire, they didn't even look like they had been in the fire. They didn't even smell like they were in the fire. So I just thank God that he was with me in the fire.
Yes, yes, yes. You know, I always start to show off with this scripture when I think of the goodness of Jesus and all he has done for me. My soul cries out, hallelujah, thank God for saving me. Even in the mess, as we talk about, he was still blessing you. even in the mess, he was still protecting you. He still had his angels assigned to you to get you through mm-hmm. that testing process. You know, isn't he phenomenal? Even in our ignorance, whether we knew or don't know, and I got to pause for a second. When you have been violated and your boundaries have been crossed, you don't know the difference between right and wrong or whatever, and then you don't know that if you're not taught it and if it's not nurtured early. You don't know mm-hmm. that. So you can't, you know, I saw a question about feeling guilty about something. I'm not very sure where the guilt will I'm not sure at what point, you know, you feel guilty. I guess I could take it on the sense of I felt guilty because once I came to know who God was, or I came to recognize what I'm doing, and I couldn't help it because now I got an addiction. And those who are familiar with addiction, yeah, you know you're not supposed to do what you're doing, but you do it anyway until you know better, until you get out of denial and decide to do something better.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I would love for you to address that part about did you ever feel guilty at any point?
Yes, I did. I felt guilty at points where I began to see where a man breaks down and he started crying. Mm-hmm. I began to see things and I began to feel guilty because I hurt other people's feelings. I took advantage of their kindness and their wholesomeness. The guilt came in various ways. I did not want to do that, but then again, a part of me did because I mm-hmm. had that part of me when I wanted to get you before you got me.
Mm-hmm.
But the guilt that I had more so leaned towards how people's feelings were. You know, we cannot, you know, play on people's feelings and emotions because it's so attached to their heart. And so
mm-hmm.
when it's attached to their heart and their heart is broken, then you begin to see some things that you thought you would never see come out of a person. And so that made me feel really upset, you know, guilty and upset. And I'm like, oh, why did I do that? There were guilt trips that I said that I actually had when I said, oh, maybe I should have done it that way, you know,
mm-hmm.
Because my mindset wasn't actually right at that time. But absolutely, I have had guilt trips, wishing went down the syndrome, I wish I could have, you know, that type of thing.
Yeah, should have, could have, would have.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You know, going through what you've gone through, what nuggets of wisdom could you offer someone who may be going through?
Going through as far as anything?
What we've
far
talked
as...
about tonight.
Okay. I would say to someone who is actually experiencing some fleshly problems,
mm-hmm.
I would, if they're serious about doing better and having a better life, and they have Jesus as their savior, and they're still struggling with that, because you still have women of God who are still struggling with this.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, I often hear people say, and I'm getting around to it, I often hear people say, well, a married woman or a married man cannot tell me anything because, you know, they have who they want to go to bed with at night. They have who, you know, they can wake up to in the morning. So how can I, as a single woman, you know, deal with this fleshly problem that I have. So we have to, first of all, pray and ask and surrender. We have to be delivered. How do we be delivered? We be delivered by giving it over to God and not going back to it and allowing him to work things out within us. How do he work things out in us is a phenomenal way. The way he may work it out in me may not be the same way he'll work it out in you, but the point of the matter is being delivered from it. So we have to, I would suggest that, you know, stay in your word. Stay close to God. Avoid certain things that you know that's going to get you into problems. He said, you know, lead me not into temptation, but deliver me from evil. You know, so, you know, when the going get tough and the tough get going, you have to go. Flee. You have to flee. You have to go. When the devil is present, you got to flee. Resist him and flee. And he will flee because you're going to go one way, and guess what? He's going to go another way. He's not going to follow. So you have to resist the devil and get flee. And you have to, we have to, one of the things I was speaking about earlier today, we have to understand and know the enemy tactics because he will send that same old spirit but with a different old joker. And we have to understand and realize it's not of God. God ain't going to send. Might just put this in here right quick, Fatrina.
Please.
And this is kind of out there in left field because we're still dealing with the flesh. We're still dealing with wanting to be loved and going through certain things and being polished, how to be polished. Lady, I strongly want to put this out there. God is not, it was just dropped in my spirit, man. God is not going to send you or have you be attached to a man who's already married.
How about that?
That is not of God.
How about that?
Okay. And so I don't care if they haven't been together for months. They said he's separated. He's still married. Do the things
under the eyes of the law and under the eyes of God. Yes.
Decently in order. Do things decently in order because that's a tact and a trick of the enemy, because what he's want to do is get that flesh still going, get that flesh still going. We have to pray and ask God daily, crucify my flesh. And once he begins to crucify your flesh daily, you're going to see things in a total different aspect of life. The good man, you're going to see a good-looking brother. He just, all he's going to be is a good-looking brother. Because, you know, when God crucifies that flesh, your whole eyesight is just different. You see beyond the veil, if I can say. You will see beyond the veil. And once you see beyond the veil, then you'll know what you're really looking at. And because he says in his word, he tell us, he said, Jeremiah 29:11, he said, for I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord.
Yes,
plans
God.
To prosper you and not to harm you, plans to
That's
give you
right.
hope and a future.
That's right.
So he has a plan for you. And we must ask God, the nugget is, ask God to crucify your flesh daily. Renew your mind in him. Keep your mind stayed on him, for he will give you that perfect peace. And lean not to your own understanding, but acknowledge him in all thy ways, and he shall direct your path. So once
Amen.
You to put these scriptures and work these scriptures and put them in order, God will do what he said he will do. You want to be delivered. You truly want to be delivered. You confess with your mouth. One thing I learned on this Christian journey, Fatrina, is that when you put it out there in the atmosphere, the enemy can't use it against you no more. There will be no more shame about it, no more guilt about it, because you didn't already put it
That's
out there.
Right.
The enemy only works on your mind because you
That's
have
right.
kept it in so long and you have hidden it. And when he, what do the enemy do? He go in places where there's nobody else but you.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And where is that silence? So
let me tell you what.
In atmosphere.
That's right. Mm-hmm. That's right.
When you put it in the atmosphere,
that's
you
why you have to be careful what you put out in the atmosphere. The power of life and death is in the tongue. You have to be careful
that's
what
it.
You put out in the atmosphere. You got to be
Absolutely.
Careful. You know, this is, I knew this was going to be an on fire show. I already knew. And I just want to know, we have to schedule it, but I want a part two to this. I feel that there's a need for a part two to this. Because they're blowing up the Facebook, I'm telling you. You know, there's a need for a part two to this because people got to understand, you know, and people understand people when people have gone through it, and that's what this is all about. I want to thank you so much for taking time out your busy schedule to
You're
share
welcome.
With us tonight and part with us tonight. And I'm telling you, you have people very attentive tonight. I promise you that. So I'm looking forward to the comments. You know, if you know anyone that could benefit from the show tonight, please share it, share it, share it, share it. Now, if someone wanted to get in contact with you, how would they do that?
They can email me. My email is mdaggett1971@gmail.com.
Awesome.
Or they can DM me through Facebook under Melissa Daggett.
Awesome. And if you didn't get that, that is mdaggett@gmail.com, or you can message
1971.
Her on
1971.
Oh, I'm sorry, 1971. Or you can messenger her on her page. Well, you actually don't have to be on her page to messenger her, but she's under Melissa Daggett. And if you still don't remember, you can always inbox me, and I'll be more than happy to get that information to her, and then we'll go from there. But I definitely have been blessed by this encounter, this experience, and I am looking forward to hopefully for us to, well, no, I'm going to speak in existence. I'm looking forward to part two of this because it's so, so necessary and so, so needed. And I want to thank you for your transparency. I really, really appreciate that. I really do. You know, we just need to hear it. We just need to hear it. Oh, thank you, love. She put it on the Facebook chat. Thank you, Ms. Sherelle Meredith. She put it on the – so if you didn't catch what she said as far as our contact, she did. It is on the inbox messenger, not inbox messenger, but on the Facebook Live. You can reach out to her that way. I just want to say that as we go into this 90 seconds that, you know, it don't matter how you start. It just matters how you end up. The race is not
Absolutely.
Given to the swift, but the one who endures to the end. You know, you have to trust mm-hmm. the process. You know,
yes,
a diamond doesn't be a coal, a diamond doesn't become a diamond until the coal goes through the pressure.
Mm-hmm.
You know, olives have to be pressed in order to make oil. A seed is most powerful when it's in the dark. We all have to go through. It's the process. You can't escape the process, and it's going to happen. You just have to trust the process. That's
Amen.
What you do. I just want to just encourage someone, you know, that the race is not given to the swift, but the one who endures, and you are loved. I love you. But God loves you more. And we're tuning out until next week. Have a good night.